Agudner Shabbos. Not only is it Shabbos, which is wonderful, marvelous, but it's Shabbos Shuva. Not only is it Shabbos Shuva, which is a marvelous treasure of opportunity. Like Rabbi Edelman knows from teaching Shari Tshuva every single year, Mamish at Shari Tshuva mensch, about the great matana, the Shari Tshuva says, that is Tshuva. Teshuva is a great matana, an opportunity to return to Hashem. What's better than that? Nothing. There's nothing better than that. Getting close to Hashem. So think about it. Think about the opportunity that every Jew gets to have. He gets to have a father in Shemayim. Last night I was learning with one of my dearest friends, and in the Sefer, it was actually written by somebody, Yeshivas Rav's father, the Sefer on Tefillah, and he writes over there in Tefillah, he writes over there about Tefillah, that when a person would talk to someone, imagine you went up to somebody, and he went up to them and he said, Erez, can I have a pen? Erez, can I have a napkin? Erez, can I have some candy? Erez, can I have some food? After a couple of times, perhaps two, three times, you'd get very annoyed with me. How many times are you going to ask me for things? It's ridiculous. Why do you keep asking me for something? Go ask somebody else. You wouldn't say that, but somebody might say that. Go ask somebody else. Why do you keep asking me? You'd think it's annoying asking Hashem all the time for things. You turn to Hashem. Hashem, can I have good health? Hashem, can I have money? Hashem, can I get up on time for shacharis? Hashem, can I have a car? Hashem, can I have healthy children? Hashem, you keep asking Hashem. Imagine one of these times Hashem's going to say, buddy, you're annoying me. Just stop. Just stop. It's too much. So the Sefer says like this, the Sefer says such a good mashal. Your parents, you turn to your parents. I need this, I need that. Can you imagine your parents sometimes, maybe they get annoyed, they get troubled. You're asking too many times, stop asking so much. Maybe sometimes. Your parents, imagine you're a father. Aaron, imagine you're a father. Be'ezus Hashem. And you come to the house, and there's your son. He was biking. And he fell off of his bike, and he gets off, and he's crying. And you're so concerned. He gets up, he's crying, and he runs, and you're there with open arms. And who does he run to? He runs to your friend. Oh, I hurt my ankle. I hurt my knee. How bad will you feel? Don't make it twice in a row. How bad would you feel if your own kid ran to somebody else for help? Somebody comes to ask for help for homework with his father or his mother, wants to ask for help. And instead of turning to his parents, you know, I'm okay, I'll just ask one of the kids in my class's parents to help me. That would not be gishmak. That would not be enjoyable. Hashem loves when you ask Him for things. You're turning to Him. Hashem is your loving, loving, caring Father. He loves you. He loves when you ask for things. And every time you ask for things, you build that relationship deeper and deeper and deeper. You have a father that loves you. You have a father in Shemayim that wants to take care of you. And no matter the amount of times you ask Aaron, he is there and always will be. And always will be there to answer your questions and help you out. Tshuva, you get to return to Hashem. Shabbos Shuva. It's these parshas of Vayelech. For a parsha that only has 30 psukim, there's tons to talk about. I'm not going to talk about any of it. I want to talk about something else. The pasuk says in this parsha that there's a shira, there's a song of Hazinu. The song of what happens when things are tough, when things are bad. When we're in the times of Aseres and Meitshuva, when perhaps in the Tanel we weren't acting the best previously, we just started a brand new fresh year, the Aseres and Meitshuva eras is an opportunity to maximize every moment. Nachman Berman's in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, he learns in Yeshiva, it happens to be a thought that just strikes me now worth sharing. He learns in Yeshiva Beis David, their Yeshiva is Rabbi Avi Wiesenfeld, Shlita. He said something very, very nice. Very, very nice. He said, we learned in class today about how careful you should be during this Seder Mitzvah, that even those people who are not careful all year round to eat Pas Yisrael, bread that is baked by a Jew, during the Seder Mitzvah, you should be more careful about that. Don't eat Pas Palter. Don't eat bread that is baked by a non-Jewish bakery. Don't go to Dunkin' Donuts. Don't eat Entenmann's. Don't eat Drake's Cakes. A person should avoid those things. In fact, today, I was walking down the block with one of the Chashuva 11th graders. And as we were walking down the block, he sees some people, certainly not from this yeshiva, but he sees some people coming from the other direction. And he said to them, "You went to Dunkin' Donuts. How could you have gone to Dunkin' Donuts?" And it only struck me later that he was probably saying, "How could you have gone to Dunkin' Donuts?" It's during this Harrison Mitzvah. What a beautiful thing to focus on. So Rabbi Wiesenfeld asked, "Who are you fooling? During the Seder Mitzvah, you're going to be better?" He said a very simple answer, a very straightforward answer, Nathan. He said a very straightforward answer. His answer was that Hashem judges you as the person that you are right now. You're not faking who you are right now. Right now, you're a person who's careful about Pas Yisrael. Right now, you're a person who's careful about that. This morning, somebody was sitting right near me. He davened so beautifully. Mamish, his Kriya Shema, I was jealous of his Kriya Shema. I was trying to copy his Kriya Shema today when he was davening. It was a beautiful Kriya Shema. It was. It was something really fantastic. During the Seder Mitzvah, you're not faking anyone out. That is who you are right now. That's what Wiesenfeld said. What a beautiful idea. That's who you are right now. And we hope it's who you are will always be. And even better and better every day. But that's who you are right now. I want to share one quick point. I saw a Sefer over Rosh Hashanah. The Sefer says over Rosh Hashanah that the 10 days of Aseret Yemei correspond to different things. Different things. There are tons of tens. If a person wants to look at a whole bunch of tens, in Pirkei Avos, the fifth parak, it talks about a lot of 10 things. The world was created by Asar Ma'amares. There were 10 generations. But one of the things that Aseret Yemei corresponds to were the 10 tests of Avram Avinu. Interesting. The 10 tests of Avram Avinu. And I figured, whenever it says that, I learned that from Gavi's Rabbi or Ephraim Shapiro, that whenever it says a number and it corresponds, you should try to figure out, make a list, day 1, day 2, day 3, and put it next to the 10 different things that it corresponds to. So I wanted to look at the Asar Ma'amaris, the Asar Nisyanis, the 10 tests of Avram Avinu, and put it correspondingly with the 10 days that Aseres Mitzvah. Interestingly enough, according to some opinions, the third of the tests of Avram Avinu was the hunger, the ra'av in Eretz Yisrael. It's no surprise that the third day of the Aseres Mitzvah is Tzayim Gedalia, the day that we're all hungry. It's the fast. It's a day to correspond to the challenge. Avram Avinu goes to Eretz Yisrael. And he's there, and he's told, and he hears that there's a hunger in Eretz Yisrael. There's a hunger in Eretz Yisrael. That's a challenging thing. In fact, some Svarim say that it was the very first hunger ever in the world. It was the very, very first hunger. And Avraham Avinu takes that, and he still goes through it. I mean, he moves to Eretz Yisrael, the land of bracha. Hashem says to him, "About God lo shemecha v'avarecha, I'll give you bracha." I go to Eretz Yisrael, and the very first hunger in history occurs when he's there, and still he does not doubt Hashem. Still he follows Hashem. Still he believes in Hashem. Still he lives a life of the joy of one who is close to the Eibishter. That's the challenge of the third day of the Aseres Mitzvah. When we're fasting, we should be thinking about it. It's not geschmack to be hungry. It's not geschmack at all. I want to eat. I want some food. But perhaps I can use this to internalize what the hunger of Eretz Yisrael must have been like. The challenge of faith that Avraham Avinu had to go through. And I'm going to move on. But today's the fourth day. And I want to share a quick thought about the fourth, one, according to one opinion, the fourth test of Avraham Avinu. According to one opinion, the fourth test of Avraham Avinu was that when he gets to Eretz Yisrael and there's a famine, he chooses to leave Eretz Yisrael and he goes to the land of Mitzrayim. Leaving Eretz Yisrael and going to Mitzrayim, where another challenge, his wife was taken away from him, the leaving of Eretz Yisrael was one of the tests. And the Ramban very famously says that Avraham Avinu Chet Gadol Chata Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu sinned, said the Ramban, in two ways. Way number one, says the Ramban Yosef, listening. Way number one, says the Ramban Yosef, steiging, Amazing. Beautiful. I hear all these stories about you. I'm writing a book about you. All the Gedolim stuff I hear about you. It's amazing. You give us tons of nachas. Really, not a joke. But the Ramban says there are two sins of Avram Avinu. Two sins. Sin number one was that Avram Avinu was not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael. How could you have left Eretz Yisrael? Hashem told you, go to Eretz Yisrael in the tunnel. Don't leave. He didn't say don't leave, but he told you go. And Avram Avinu sinned, he left Eretz Yisrael. And sin number two, says the Ramban, you bring your wife to the lowest, seediest place in the entire world, the place where people take advantage of women. You brought your wife to Manhattan. You brought your wife to Las Vegas. That's where you bring your wife. I always say this terrible story. Terrible story. Unfortunately, Abir is repeating. I have a dear friend. I haven't spoken to him in a good many years. We learned in yeshiva together in Eretz Yisrael. When I left to go to Lakewood, he left. He went back to his hometown, and he eventually became a psychologist. He's a psychologist now. I met him by a friend of mine's wedding. We're by the wedding, and we're both called up as witnesses under the chuppah. Actually, first we're witnesses by the ksuba. It's a very small wedding, so we're called up for a lot of kibbudim. So we get called up as witnesses for the ksuba. So this friend of mine, the psychologist, he's, no, I can't go up. Literally, like shaking. I can't go up. Anyway, Rosh Hashiva is there. Like I said, if you don't want to go out, I'll get somebody else. You, okay? Okay, me and the other guy. But they left him on the list. So then he's called up to be the witness by the chuppah. Okay, you get called up to witness by the chuppah. They called him out loud. Now he couldn't say, no, please. He goes up. Anyway, afterwards, I speak to him because we're also witnesses by the yichud room. So I was in the yichud room. So afterwards, I said to him, why are you so nervous? Well, I gamble sometimes. Gamble, okay, it's puzzle A this year, disqualified as a witness. I gamble sometimes. Where do you gamble? I sometimes go to Atlantic City. I said, you go to Atlantic City? Who do you go with to Atlantic City? I go with my wife. Okay. I should regret, don't regret. Okay, it's Yom Kippur, I should start regretting these things. I said to him, let me ask you a question. I'm sitting by the chasna, I said to him, when you go to Atlantic City with your wife, I don't know if I should use the right word I used for him, but all those women who are dressed inappropriately, who try to approach men in casinos, do they still come over to you if your wife is there? Without batting an eye, I thought, yeah, they actually did. And I was shocked. I turned to the guy next to me. I couldn't even say anything. So the guy next to me was listening to the conversation, and he said, and that's what happens when you leave yeshiva too early. That's what happens. You don't even know there's something wrong with it. You don't even know there's something wrong. The guy went and I asked him the question. I shouldn't have even asked it. But he's like, yeah, whatever. I don't know. You lose sensitivity. You just go. Your wife. Avram Avinu, Chet Gadol Chata Avram Avinu. He brought his wife to Mitzrayim. It's worse than Vegas, Mitzrayim. Worse than Vegas. He brought her there. The Ramban said he was punished for that too. And that was the reason why the Jewish people were sent down to Mitzrayim for the Gullahs to be in Mitzrayim, because of that. That's the fourth test. That's today's test. Erev Shabbos, Shabbos Shuvah. That is today's test. You hear this? That's today's test. What do you mean? There are 10 tests of Avraham Avinu. I just told you he failed number 4. In fact, the Mishnah says, Asar Nisyanis Nisnas Avraham Avinu, V'omar Bekulam. He stood all the tests. But I just told you, he failed number 4. You hear my question? He failed number 4. And the Mishnah said, he stood all the tests. What's today's test? How did Avraham Avinu pass today's test? If I told you two reasons he failed today's test. What's today's test? I thought perhaps, you know what today's test is? Today's test is, like my Rebbe's father, Zechariah, used to say, my Rebbe is Rabbi Yochum Kaplan, Zechariah Tzadik Levracha, his father, Reb Mendel Kaplan. When Reb Mendel Kaplan went shopping for a car, you know what type of car he got? Not a BMW, not a Mercedes, not an Audi, not a Acura MDX, not that. Not even a Toyota Corolla. You know what he got? He asked the guy in the store, which car can get into an accident and keep on going? That's what he asked. Which car can get into an accident and then it'll get up and keep on going? And my Rebbe Yerucham said from this, that's what we Meir are supposed to be. That's what we Meir are supposed to be. We're supposed to be the type of people, when it comes to day number four, the test Avram Avinu didn't pass. You know what his test was? Get up and go do the next six tests. Are you ready for another six tests? Or you're going to say, I'm a quitter, I'm a loser, I'm a failure, I stink. Like my Shiva says, now I'll say this word, I'm a nebuch, I just can't do it. Is that what you're going to say? Then that's a problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. You can't ever say that. That's today's test. Today's challenge is, I'm ready to get back up. I'm ready to get back up. Thank you. I'm ready to get back up. It's day number four. It's challenge number four. It's the fourth of the 10 tests. I'm ready to get back up. All these days of tshuva. My big problem, I was speaking to one of my chashuva talmidim on Rosh Hashanah. We were going on a nice walk. We walked all over town. I was walking with him, and I said to him, I'm always bothered. I say things about the shmuz, and I tell you guys that you guys are amazing, incredible people with so much you do and so much you will do. But you know what? I told him, my words are limited. I could only keep saying it so much. But you're not going to believe me until you do it. And if you do it, you'll know how great you are. And you'll start believing me. My problem is you don't realize you're already doing it. There are people here who... Somebody came over to me. He's a marvelous, spectacular person. He told me of an accomplishment that he has been doing week after week after week, day after day after day. How can he ever say that he's not an incredible person? He pushes himself. He gets himself to accomplish. Why don't you already see? I'm asking you a question. Why don't you already see that you are accomplishing? You are already doing it. And if you're already doing it, you can keep on doing it. It's not just my words. It's the guy in the mirror who's proving it. There's a guy here in yeshiva. He has a friend. He has a friend who has a very difficult life. A very difficult life. Very challenging life. Very, very challenging. And this guy is his friend. I'm sure he's his friend because he's his friend. But also his friend in order to encourage him. To give him an opportunity to be better. To support him. That's a person who's doing a lot. Why don't you believe me if you're already doing so much? It's Erev Shabbos Shuvah. The only thing that's standing in your way is you believing me and you believing you, Bez Hashem. I give you a bracha. You should have a beautiful Shabbos. You should have beautiful opportunities. You should have beautiful zmiras. You should have beautiful chalent. You should have beautiful everything. So your Shabbos should be beautiful. Positive. Menucha. Vayam menucha kitzav. Have a beautiful Shabbos, Bez Hashem.